News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here in studio with Rick Van Dyvendyke from Dutch Growers. We haven't done this before. I think you were in with Brittany last week, but it's been a weird year and a half.
We've never been on air in studio together.
No.
Right?
It's
been almost a year and a half since I've been in studio.
I've never been able to be in person, so this is quite the experience. If you have any questions for Rick, you can give us a call or a text. It's at 1-877-332-8255. And we were talking a little bit before the show started about the U of S plant sale. Yep. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's going on there?
Yeah, starting on September 2nd, and they went online, and so it's gone on until the plants are basically sold out.
Okay.
But I think it ends pretty quick. They're not very long because pickup is September 10th and 11th. But
okay.
University of Saskatchewan, every year they have a plant sale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you can go online, just go to the University of Saskatchewan plant sale. So the only thing you have to do is you have to be around to pick them up because they don't ship them out or anything like that. So you have to be able to pick them up. But they do a lot of research at the University of Saskatchewan. A lot of sour cherries have been released, and so is hascaps, the honey berries. And they also have other apple trees they've released and some beautiful raspberries, even the red mammoth and red bounty. So there's been a whole bunch of plants, and this time of the year they grow a lot of plants on, and then they have them ready for sale as well. So, and this year there's at the plant sale, the Dr. Bob Boer is releasing a new sour cherry.
Okay.
And this one's a little bit shorter in stature, and the cherries themselves are a little bit more tougher, because they're meant for picking with mechanical pickers.
Oh, okay.
And so they're a bit tougher so that they don't get mushed up when they get picked up with the mechanical pickers and that. And but the plant, being a smaller plant, would be fit perfect for yards as well. It's a very good one. It's called Dardargin.
D'Artagnan.
D'Artagnan.
Oh, we were trying to figure it
D'Artagnan.
Out earlier. Like the Musketeer.
The fourth Musketeer, right?
Yeah.
And so because the sour cherries, there's a whole bunch of the romance series. This is a continuation of those. And so this one here, you have first opportunity to get this. Not even available commercially yet, so at garden centers not. So if you want a new sour cherry, although by now this is what's the date today?
It is the 5th.
The 5th. It might be sold out already. I'm not sure.
But worth a check.
But worth a check. And so they also have other plants usually available there. There's usually some rhubarb and some currants and those kind of things. A lot of times they have those available as well. So, and all the money that they collect goes to hiring more students to do more research in out in the fields in the summertime as well. So it's for a great cause, and we love to have the University of Saskatchewan just does amazing work with all the development of new plants, and there's a lot more coming from what I hear in the works.
Okay.
And so that's a great thing, and part of the money for this also, like I said, goes to help for research for more plants.
Well, and you get an opportunity to try something new before it's really in mass production,
yep.
I guess.
And one thing about the University of Saskatchewan here, I mean, they're all suited for our climate, right? So
yes.
it's that's what's the best part about it, is that they're working on plants that are suited for our climate that we can actually grow in Saskatchewan that can handle our winters.
Which is always nice because our winters can be a little brutal on some plants.
Yep.
We have Mary in Regina waiting for us on the line. Good morning, Mary. What's your question for Rick today?
I have ants that are growing underneath the grass, so I have like a big lump in the middle of my lawn.
Yes.
And I was wondering what's the best way to get rid of them.
Probably the best way to get rid of them, because a lot of the chemicals that used to be available are now gone. There's sort of two ways you can do it. One, you can use diatomaceous earth. You sprinkle it all over top of the hill. And diatomaceous earth, what happens with it, it gets the adult ants, okay? It basically gets it's basically crushed up seashells, so it's totally organic. And you sprinkle it on there, and it gets into all their joints, and it dehydrates them. So that's one way to get rid of the adults. To get rid of the nest, the best way to do it is called ant be gone nematode. So it's another little insect you're releasing into the ground, which goes down, and they attack the nest, and they go after the eggs. And then they go in to the egg, and they eat the larva from the inside, the egg, and then they reproduce, and they just keep expanding, and pretty soon the queen says, okay, something's wrong here, and she just picks up and takes off because she says, this is not good, there's enemies here. But you have to remember, you have to follow the instructions because you have to soak the anthill, because the anthill makes the ground very dry. And don't forget, that queen is down probably 12 to 16 inches into the ground, so you have to put a hose on it and just let it dribble and soak the ground really, really good. And then you release the nematodes, and then you give it a good watering again, because the nematodes can only go through moist soil. Okay? So those are two ways. Diatomaceous earth to get the adults, and nematodes to get the whole nest, to get the queen to actually move away. Because if you just get the adults, the queen just produces more. And she just keeps saying, okay, well, I'm losing my adults, I'll just produce more eggs. And you don't get rid of them that way by just getting the adults.
So we should do both things?
Do both things. Perfect.
And would I do them now?
Yeah, you can do them right now with temperature still good to do it, and you can get rid of that nest.
And can you spell that first, diatomaceous?
Diatomaceous earth. I can't even think. I don't think I could spell it. Diatomaceous. D-A... I got it.
No.
It's D-I-A-T-I-M-A-T-I-O-U-S, I think it is.
Okay.
Diatomaceous earth. So there's a whole bunch of them out there. There's a lot of them under different names, but they're all, if you read the ingredients, it still says diatomaceous earth, okay?
Okay, and most gardening places would have it?
Pretty much all gardening places have diatomaceous earth because it's a good organic for any crawling insects.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. We have a question in that got called in here. When is the best time to transplant goji plants?
Goji plants, I like to transplant them in the spring because the goji plants are kind of a zone 3, almost a zone 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you plant them in the fall, then you need to mulch them really, really, really heavy.
Yeah.
So the best way to do the goji berries, I always say, is do it in the spring. And end of April, beginning of May, and then they have all season to get rooted really well. And then they, after that, then I still like to mulch.
Yeah.
I still like to mulch them. I don't have to mulch them as heavy as I was going to transplant them in the fall.
Just a bit of a blanket.
A blanket, yep.
Perfect. We can probably do one more before we go to a quick break here. This one coming from Jerry in Stockholm. I have corn beetles in my corn. Can I compost the corn or should I just take it to the dump?
Yeah, I'd probably take it to the dump because the beetles will go into the ground and then come up next year, right?
Yeah.
That's the problem there is that they're gonna go, they may have gone into the ground sooner than you get rid of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would suggest probably just do not compost those. Whenever you got an insect or disease, that's what you have to make that decision is that if you put them in the compost, you're gonna keep whatever is in there around usually.
Just maybe have to get rid of it for this year and hope for the best next time around.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We're back with more Garden Talk here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I forgot to mention at the start of the show, but we're back to 1 hour again.
Yeah, we're into our winter gardening times is because people will be finishing up their harvesting and getting back. So we're back to 1 hour starting today.
Pretty scary stuff. So if you have a question for Rick, don't wait.
Don't wait to the second hour.
No,
it'll be too late.
Yeah, you'll miss your chance. You can give us a call or a text at 1-877-332-8255. And we have a few texts that have come in through the break, so we should probably start going through those.
Yep.
We'll start off with one from Ruby in Saskatoon, or just west of Saskatoon. The grass on my farm was all brown. Now, after some rain, it started to come back a bit. Should I cut it or just leave it over the winter?
If it gets really long, if it gets like 3 inches tall, then you want to cut it because otherwise it'll actually mat down or lodge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a lot of snow mold and those kind of things. So it depends. I mean, we still, it's supposed to be like 26 degrees, right?
It's going to be pretty nice over the next couple days anyway.
with that rain we've got, then the grass is going to grow. You've seen the pastures. They're just greening up again, which is great for the cattle farmers that need to get their,
Needed it all summer.
Needed it all, so they didn't have to start feeding right away. So this is just great news, this rain. You'll just monitor it, and you'll need to cut it if it gets a little bit too long because you just don't want it to mat.
Yeah. We have a text from Greg in Wawota. I was wondering if you can plant new grass seed in the fall, and if so, the dirt is really dry. Should it be moistened up first?
Yep, good idea to moisten up first if you want, and that way you can just rake it in, or you can prepare it and then put your seed down and then give it a good watering right after that as well.
Okay.
I'm going to be planting seed this next week as well. And so usually I always say you can usually the second or third week of September that you can plant your seed yet. Depending on the weather, obviously. But then once you get past that, then you're almost better off to wait until the middle to the end of October. And then you can put your seed down and then you can water it in a bit if you still have your water on. And then you can it'll come up first thing in the spring, right? Because it's cold enough where it won't germinate.
Yeah.
Right? And so then it'll come up first thing in the spring. Now, that's if you don't have a very windy spot. On my acreage, I want to plant right now because I want to get it started because otherwise, I think by spring, because we have so much wind out at our acreage, that I think my seed will all blow away. So
one side of the hill will be very, very,
very green. Right. So then otherwise, just wait until spring when you got the water going again and just plant it then otherwise.
All right, perfect. We have Dennis waiting on the line for us right now. Good morning. What's your question for Rick today?
Hi, Rick. I'm just wondering about fall fertilizing for my grass, what you suggest for time of year, and the strength. I have a Scotts 32010 fall fertilizer.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, a fall fertilizer.
When would you apply?
You can apply any time now.
Anytime.
Once you get in September, you can apply it anytime. Anytime between now and basically the middle of October.
Okay.
And it's not a problem. Although, you know what? I wouldn't do it in the next couple of days. It's going to be so warm.
Right.
I like when the temperatures, at least the nighttime temperatures, are dropping a bit so it doesn't force the grass to grow a ton. It just gets ready for wintertime, right?
Right.
And we're still getting like 26 degrees, I think, today, right? And 23 or 24 tomorrow. So, but the daytime temperature doesn't bother me because it's a different heat in the fall than in the summertime, because the sun is a different angle, but, it's nighttime temperature. If they start dropping down, you know, below 8 degrees, then that's a good time to put your fall fertilizer down. So I would suggest right now wait for another week and then put it on.
Okay. And should you water it in or just let it?
No, absolutely water it in.
Okay, and one more question for you. I had a lot of problems with snow mold this spring.
Yes.
And I had read someplace about putting a dilution of copper sulfate in water on the grass.
Yep.
That'll work?
Help. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Just spray the whole area.
Yep, just spray the whole area and just make sure that you keep your grass. Don't keep your grass really, really long, but don't cut it really short either, okay? So you want it about an inch and three quarters around in that range.
Okay.
And then that way your lawn is just at the right height where it can it doesn't get matted down, and that's when you get your snow mold a lot of times.
So cut it short for the winter and then spray it down and it should be good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. We have Wayne waiting on the line for us. Hi there, Wayne. What's your question for Rick today?
Oh, good morning. It's those nasty mushrooms on my lawn. Can I get rid of them, or are they always going to be there?
Okay, the reason why you got mushrooms is because they're growing on something. Now, whether it's too much thatch in your lawn or otherwise, majority of the time it's because there was an old tree that died, so there's some roots growing. So a lot of times they'll grow along lines where that root used to be. That means they're growing on a tree root or an old stump or something like that. Or otherwise, just even under construction, there might be an old piece of plywood or a piece of chunk of 2x4 or something like that underneath the ground. Some organic. That's what mushrooms need to grow on. The way you get rid of them, there is no chemical, okay, first of all. And so one thing that you can do is if you leave the mushrooms there, they actually help to break down the compost or the wood or whatever is there. Okay, so you can leave them. They don't do any harm otherwise, but you could leave them and then they help break down. Or if you don't like them, then you pick them and then you aerate. You take a fork and you aerate the area where the mushrooms are. And then you put a little more fertilizer and also what's called compost accelerator. It's used for compost piles, and you can put some compost. It is bacteria, which helps break down your organic matter quicker. Okay. Put some compost accelerator on and water it, and then that'll help get rid of the food that the mushrooms are feeding on. And that's the way you get rid of mushrooms.
Yeah, okay. I know there's no, like I did all the backyard. There's no wood. There's no tree stump. So is it just I should dethatch a little more often and maybe bag my clippings a little more often.
Yeah, if you're getting a whole bunch of mushrooms, then you maybe just have to get too much thatch there, and you just have to do a power raking next spring, or you know, and then and that'll help quite a bit.
So don't get lazy and pick up the clippings a little more often too, maybe.
Yeah, if you're getting mushrooms, I mean, the clippings actually add, you know, nutrients to your soil, you know, but,
right.
But if you just get too much, then you will get just nature wants to break that down, and mushrooms love that
right.
kind of thing.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, I have been plucking them out and putting them in the bag and throwing them away, but.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Wayne.
Bye.
All right, we'll jump to Sean in East End. Hi there, Sean. What's your question for Rick today?
Hello to you both.
Hi there.
Hello.
Rick, I have a circle of grass out in my front approach. You're going to come in with the gravel. I have a nice young willow tree in the middle of it, and I think it's pigweed or portulaca that comes in from the gravel and keeps going around the edges. And I spray with Roundup. Of course, I always get a little bit of grass, but I try to do it as best I can. But it just seems every year they creep in more and more and more. Is there any way to keep that from encroaching on the grass?
Yeah, so keep doing what you're doing there, but also maybe add some corn gluten into that area, because it's not a garden. It's just a shrub bed with some trees and that kind of stuff, right? So put some corn gluten in, because what happens is that those things produce a zillion seeds, okay?
Oh, terrible.
And so corn gluten is basically a natural pre-emergent herbicide, okay? And so as long as you put it down according to the instructions, if you got to put it down at least what it says for square footage or stronger. Yeah. You can't, it doesn't hurt by putting it stronger, but if you make it go weaker and thin it out to make it go farther, it doesn't work. It just acts as fertilizer, okay? And so
follow the instructions per hectare or acreage, whatever.
Yeah,
and maybe a tad stronger, you say.
Just a tad stronger, and then that will help those seeds from germinating. And then for the adult plants, you still use the Roundup or, you know, a form of a weed killer to get rid of or picking them, okay? So,
yeah.
But try to do that before they go into flower, okay? Because once they go into flower, if you ever notice that if you spray your plants after they go into flower, it's no different than what the farmers do to burn down their canola crops. You don't get rid of the seeds, okay?
Right, okay.
And so you have to get them early. So as soon as you see them as little plants, you have to hit them then. You can't wait until they're big and starting to flower and seed, okay?
Okay, so with the Roundup or 540 or whatever, and the corn gluten together in a spray?
Absolutely.
And then
if you're going to spray early, okay?
Okay.
When the plants are just teeny tiny.
I've sprayed three times since the spring.
Yep.
I'll throw my all my gravel.
Yeah, but there's lots of seeds in there, so they're going to keep growing, right? And so that's where the corn gluten will come in.
Okay. Can I go directly on the grass with the corn gluten?
Yeah, absolutely. The only place you don't want to put corn gluten is in the garden, because it'll stop your carrots from germinating as well.
Okay, and the quick other question I had, Rick, was my whole lawn in the back, all grass. In the fall, someone told me to use 2,4-D just before the leaves drop, so that when you, instead of using par 3 in the spring, because that's just kind of a, what's the word?
Yep.
Will the 2,4-D hurt the grass?
No.
Or do I use the corn gluten again?
No,
fall.
That won't hurt the grass. In fact, fall is a great time because the plants are putting all their sugars back into the roots, all the weeds.
What he told me, exactly.
And then, so then that'll take the chemical down to the roots and get it way quicker than you do in the summertime.
Okay, so follow the instructions on the 2,4-D on the grass?
Always follow the instructions.
Okay, and then the corn gluten on the grass too, and also my whole gravel and all my approaches.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean. We are going to take a quick break for news, and then we'll be back with more of your calls and texts on Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. We're back with the second half of our one-hour edition of Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt, here with Rick Van Dyvendyk from Dutch Growers. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We have a couple people who have been waiting patiently for us through the break here, so we won't make them wait too much longer. We'll start off in Regina with Robert. Good morning, Robert. What's your question for Rick today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering, is it wise to spread weed-free lawn grass cuttings under my tomato plants in my garden?
Yeah, absolutely. You can. The best way to do it is you compost your grass clippings first. Okay, that's absolutely the best way. But you can spread them under. But you got to remember, if you mat it too thickly, okay, you know how grass heats up, especially when it's green. Okay, it heats up, and then with that you get all kinds of molds and fungals and everything else growing in there. So that's one place that you could harbor a lot of, you know, things that you don't want around your plant. Now, the only thing that's great for grass clippings or mulch or whatever you're going to use is that the problem this year is that people had problems with blossom end rot.
Yeah.
And that's because they were going wet, dry. So if you put some kind of a mulch on the soil, you can mitigate the temperature fluctuations in the soil so that you're not having that fluctuation of moisture and you won't get your blossom end rot. So yes, it is good, but I just wouldn't put it really, really thick. And if you can, it would be best even if you composted it a bit first. So one thing about green grass is that when it breaks down, it actually takes nitrogen to break down green grass, okay? So you're actually stealing nitrogen from the soil before it breaks down actually as nitrogen. So that's why it's best, if you can, just to compost a bit and then put a layer of that composted grass clippings down, which would be a lot better for the plant.
Sounds great. I'm using cages. But the plants are very proficient this year.
Oh, yes, they are. Yeah.
Thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.
All right, we will jump over to Tonya in Saskatoon. Good morning. What's your question for Rick today?
Good morning. I have 4 Thunderchild trees in my backyard. And although I love the blossoms in the spring, I really detest the little tiny apples that fall from the trees in the fall onto the grass.
Yes.
Is there anything that I can do to still enjoy the blossoms but prevent the apples from forming?
Pray for frost. So that's about all. There is a product out in the States, but it's not registered for Canada, that you can spray onto the blossoms, and then what it does is it basically makes them sterile then, okay? But there's no such product available in Canada. And so there's all you can really try to do is to you try to damage the blossoms, but then you've taken away, you only got 10 days of that beautiful flowers, right? You damage the blossoms and you're cutting down that time that you're going to have the beautiful blossoms. So it's a trade-off, right? So but otherwise, sorry, there's no cure other than a chainsaw.
I was hoping for a fungus disease to wipe them all out, but that might be some extra work for me too.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one, and otherwise you could, you know, throw a big mesh over top of your whole tree and keep the bees away from pollinating them. That might work as well, but I mean, then you got to look at this mesh rather than the beautiful flowers as well. So it's a tough one. The other one is there's one called the courageous flowering crab, which has the pink flowers, but the crabs are very, very tiny, okay? They're not big like a Thunderchild. Or otherwise, there's another flowering crab, which is called a spring snow flowering crab, green leaves with only white flowers, about a zillion white flowers, and it's sterile. It actually gives no crabs.
Yeah. Actually, when I planted these trees and when my sister was looking for trees, I said, don't get these ones. But she did go to your store and get the second one that you mentioned.
Okay.
So she doesn't have to deal with the apples.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Thank you so much. I love your show, you guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. We'll go to Darwin in Prince Albert. Good morning, Darwin. What's your question for Rick today?
Good morning. And how do I get rid of chintz bugs on the lawn?
Cinch bugs, the best way is just use ambush, spray ambush on the grass.
How many times?
It works really well, so probably only once. Unless they laid a whole bunch of eggs, and you'll have to hit them again maybe 10 days' time if the eggs hatch. But usually one time we'll take care of them.
Okay, what about that chemical 7?
If you have 7, it's not on the market anymore.
Okay, so will it work?
Absolutely, it will work.
Okay, how many times? A couple times?
Once 7 will get rid of them even into the soil. It works into the soil even better. So you can use them once. Maybe you have to watch for them 10 days whether there's an egg hatch. But okay. We're getting late in the season where they might lay their eggs and not come back till next spring. So I wouldn't waste the second one because you might need to hit them again next spring.
Okay. What about slugs in the garden?
Basically, easiest way, organic way of doing it is take a flashlight at night and an ice cream pail and like some gloves and go pick them. And, but otherwise you use a slug bait, but put it underneath a piece of plywood or a board in between your plants because the slugs will go underneath there. Or otherwise there is, you can put some strips of copper down. They don't cross that if you know where they're coming from. Or otherwise, just a little cottage cheese container buried in the ground and puts a half full of beer, and then that'll take care of them too.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, we'll get to one more call before we take a quick break. This is Karen in City Park. Hi there, Karen. What's your question for Rick today?
I have a pyramidal cedar growing on the south side of my house.
Yep.
The side of the house is brick. This cedar is about, 12 feet tall, I guess. It's been there about 15 years and looked to be healthy this spring. I've been watering and fertilizing as recommended, and I noticed the last about 2-3 weeks it's starting to develop dead spots. Spots that had been very green are bleaching out, and I hope that you would help me with that.
There's two things that have been affecting the cedars in the dry year. Okay, one is moisture, first of all, because of the big plants, especially on the south against brick, are transpiring like crazy.
Yeah.
So they needed more moisture than normal, okay?
Yeah.
The other one is spider mite, because spider mites are just rampant when it's hot, okay?
Yeah.
That's when they're the worst. And also because of when you get heat and humidity, they've been getting some fungals in them. So the preventive is spray them with blast them with cold water or using an insecticidal soap or use malathion. Okay, you can use any one of those. For fungal, just give them a spray. You need to spray them 2 times, 10 days apart with copper sulfate. Bordeaux is their name for it. And it won't hurt the tree, and it'll actually, if just a preventive, because I'm not sure if you have it, but I mean, I'm pretty sure if you're seeing spots like that, because spider mite work from the inside out, and yours is coming right out to the edge, right?
Yeah.
To the tips.
Yes.
So if it's coming out to the tips, I would suggest it's probably a fungal, okay?
Okay, and that's copper?
Copper sulfate.
And that's available at Dutch Growers?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll give it a try, and let's see how it goes. I sure hope I don't lose this tree.
Okay, perfect.
Anyway, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck, Karen.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye now. We will take one quick text here before we go to our quick break. Just curious about, they planted California poppy seeds in the spring.
Yep.
They bloom nicely and still are, but will they winter?
California poppy seeds. I'm not sure actually.
Mm-hmm.
That one I'm not sure. If you want them to bake it, come through the wintertime. I'm trying to remember the zoning of the California. I just can't remember off the top of my head, but mulch them really heavy.
Yeah.
That'll be the key. If you want them to come through, mulch them really, really heavy. Otherwise, what poppies are going to go to seed right away, just collect some of the seed.
Okay.
And then you can always reseed. Because poppies, a lot of times what poppies will do is they'll just throw their seed onto the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll just reseed themselves every year.
Okay.
Okay. So then a lot of times, the seed will stay viable, but not the plant. Okay. But if you want to make sure, just mulch the area and collect some seed, and you have two things you can kind of work on that way.
Perfect. We are going to take a quick break and be back with more Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. You're listening to Garden Talk here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Erin McNutt here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. We have a few more minutes as we're back to our 1 hour format as we finish up the summer growing season. You still have time to give us a call at 1-877-332-8255. We do have some text messages, starting to pile up a little bit here, Rick. So I'm going to move the mic over a bit so I can,
let's do rapid round.
Yeah, let's
quick.
Just go right through them. This one is from Mary in Yorkton. We have an ash tree that looks like one side of it is dying, but the other side has new growth. What do you suggest? Is it too late to spray with Saigon? Also too late to spray evergreens for spider mites?
Spider mites, no, the temperature's still warm.
Okay.
That'll still work. But the ash, I mean, they're starting to, I'm just looking out here and I see all the ash starting to turn color already, right?
Yeah.
Around the riverbank. So the ash, I would just leave until next spring now because most of the bugs that would be there pretty much, I mean, there might be some aphids and those kind of things you could spray, but most likely what happened if you had some damage from last winter, I had some ash trees around the garden center that actually totally lost all their leaves. They didn't put any leaves on this year, but there was a couple of them. About three of them actually got their leaves almost in August.
Oh, wow.
And the tree that is suspicious right now, it hasn't got leaves on. It did that once before, but came leaves in the next year.
Oh.
So sometimes they just get some cell damage and they just shut down. And but one thing weird about ash is that the next year they could pop out again or they could not. So I think you just had more like you had some winter damage and cell damage in the plant. And so just make sure you water normally right now just to keep the plant alive, but start slowing down in the watering now. And then give it a good watering about the middle to the second to third week of October. And even if you have the whole pails out there or whatever, give them a good soaking then. And then hopefully next spring she'll pop out again with all the leaves.
Just maybe needed a bit of a break.
Yep.
All right. This one is, what would be the fastest growing hedge to plant at a seasonal campsite? And should I plant it this fall or in the spring?
This fall, if you can water it in well, you can put it in. If you want to, at a campsite, one is called the Myers lilac or dwarf Korean lilac because it grows still about 5 to 6 feet tall, gives you some privacy, but it's fairly drought resistant, right? So one thing nice about it, it's not a huge lilac, but it'll give you enough. It's really thick, so it looks good. Contoniaster is another great hedge that you can put in there that grows fast. So either one of those two, I would say, that will do well and give you something grows fast and will do fairly well in that type of location.
All right, perfect. We have a couple of calls on the line here, so we'll jump to Regina Beach with Ted. Hi there, Ted. What's your question for Rick today?
It's just a general one. If I'm collecting seeds off of flowers such as hollyhocks and hydrangeas and stuff,
yep.
Is there a way to save them? Like, besides you put them in an envelope, should they be in the fridge? Should they be, where should they be? And then when do you start planting them? And how do you wet the ground? I find that the birds get them if I just throw them out there. So.
Yeah, if you throw them out there, then you throw a layer of sand over top of them or something like that, or peat moss or something, so the birds, you know, so that they get a cover over top of them. Okay, that works. Otherwise, you can put them in your paper envelope and put them into the fridge. But you can't put them in the fridge. You have to put in the crisper basically in a separate spot, because if you put fruit in. A lot of seeds with the ethylene gases that fruit produces will kill the seed. Okay, so you can't have any fruit in the fridge. So this should be your beer fridge in the garage. Okay, that's where you should put it. Okay,
yeah, so I've never heard of that type of fridge, but
yeah, but yeah, a separate fridge from all your other type of vegetables and that kind of stuff. Okay.
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 Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ted.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll go to Teresa in Macklin. Hi there, what's your question for Rick today?
I have a few strawberry plants somebody gave to me and planted them in a pot for me,
yep.
Which I guess I didn't have room in my garden, but now I find that they have runners on them and I cannot keep them there all winter, right?
Right, correct.
So I planted them in the ground this couple of weeks ago,
yep.
And spread out the runners and clamp them down, but I mean, they're not going to root properly before.
Yeah, so you're going to have to mulch them for the first winter for sure. Okay.
Like what? With what?
Just a peat moss, a bark mulch, like a cedar mulch or something like that, or leaves. But the problem is you have to be able to keep the leaves there from blowing away, right?
Yeah.
So something that you can put over top of them to keep the leaves there. Now you can always put some leaves down and throw a tarp over top of it. You can do something like that as well.
So the tarp could stay there?
The tarp could stay there, but you got to remember that you still want snow to stay on the tarp, okay? Because sometimes the snow with the tarp, the snow just blows away, right?
Okay.
So you have to get snow to go on top of the tarp, which is very important, okay? So so you could do it those kind of ways, whichever way will work for you, either peat moss or bark mulch, leaves, but then throw a tarp over top of them to keep it that there. And if it's a tarp, if you can make it a lighter color on the top, even orange or white or something like that, black, just you get fluctuations of temperatures too much, okay?
What about the color?
If black is just too hot.
Oh, okay. Don't use the black or the orange.
Yeah. Well, you can use orange or white or blue, but just not black.
What about a blanket of some kind?
Yeah, anything to keep the leaves from blowing away after you put the layer of leaves down.
And then if I put boards across or something,
yep,
to keep
perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a couple more texts here. This one is asking, should perennials and shrubs be fertilized in the fall, similar to the lawn?
No, no, that's one thing that I just don't like to do. I don't like to force them again. Grass is just different. It seems like it's tougher than that, but you're basically after July the 15th, I like the shrubs and that because they stick. Lawn gets covered with snow most of the time,
yes,
right? It's protected.
Mm-hmm.
These plants are sticking up, so I just basically after July 15th, July 30th, I basically shut off the fertilizer and then and just let them harden off. And then next spring, I always go from Mother's Day until around July the 15th. I'll fertilize every 3 weeks.
Okay.
And with the water soluble fertilizer. Of course, there's slow release fertilizers you can use, and you put those on first thing in the spring only.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, don't fertilize in the fall.
Okay. And this one is a pretty quick one. This one is from Mo. Bagging grass clippings or not? Some people are adamant that not bag grass while mowing. Others are the complete opposite. We need to settle this once and for all.
Well, anything in moderation, right?
Yes.
So if you're mulching your grass clippings all the time, eventually you build up thatch, and like we had the caller earlier, you're going to get mushrooms growing on,
yes,
and everything else. Okay. So at least dethatching your lawn every second or third year is a good idea. And you, what you're going to do is if you decide you could bag every third cut, okay? You could do that, but put some down, okay? Because that always, it's organic. It's going to break down and give the grass food, right? But too much of that, and then your grass is, you're going to have problems, okay? So it's just too much thatch. And so moderation, that's all I can say.
All right, the debate rages on.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Garden Talk. This brings us to the end of the show for the week. Thank you so much, Rick, for coming in and joining us for the hour.
It's good to meet you, Erin.
Yeah,
in person.
We've been talking over the phone,
yes,
for so long. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.